The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver. He is your worst nightmare. He's a radio host with a brain. That means he can blow your mind whenever he feels like it. Peter Boyle on News Talk 710, KNUS.
Frozen brain today.
Peter texted me from Granby, 20 degrees below zero. May not be any skiing in our little hooky player's future today. That is cold. Not so good here either. We lost a degree in Aurora, back down to 18, 19 in Denver. Sun is up. Sky is blue, but it is dog cold. We're supposed to see 43 tonight, or 43 today, overnight low of 22. So may not be a bad night to get out if you want to bring in the new year with fireworks. That will not be me tonight, I can guarantee you. Really looking forward to spending some time with our next guest. He is the Colorado Republican State House Minority Leader, Representative Patrick Neville. We'll get to him in just 1 second. By the way, he said he'd be happy to take some calls. So if you have comments, encouragements, criticisms, or questions about the 2019 session, what's coming up in 2020, feel free to load up those lines right now. Give Billy Thorpe something to do back there, 303-69. He's always working. Just so you know, 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971. I did want to play one thing, though, for you, just really, really quickly. In the interview with Trevor Loudon, he talked about the Republican Party is not the Jeb Bush Party anymore. And it reminded me of an exchange between Donald Trump and Jeb Bush when the Republican presidential candidate debates were going on. Absolutely hilarious. A perfect example of why Donald Trump won and why he is extremely likely to win again. A message that I hope all Republicans who give a damn about what the media thinks about them, who think it's more important to be liked than it is to be victorious, I hope they tune in and take a quick listen. This is just a brief little exchange between Donald Trump and Jeb Bush, in with the new, out with the old, on the debate stage back in 2016.
This is a tough business to run for president.
I know. You're a tough guy, Jeb.
And we need to have a leader that is real tough. You're never going to be president of the United States by insulting your way to the presidency.
Let's see, I'm at 42 and you're at 3,
so far
I'm doing better.
Doesn't matter.
So far I'm doing better. You know, you started off over here, Jeb. You're moving over further and further. Pretty soon you're going to be off the end.
This doesn't do a thing.
You remember they'd position people based on how they were doing in the polls. You're moving further and further, Jeb. Pretty soon you're going to be off the stage. You know, it's fun to watch, but heading into the roaring 20s, given what we've seen in the last decade and the change in our politics and the way the left is relentless in attacking fairly, unfairly, above the belt, below the belt. Michelle Obama said, or maybe it was Barack, they bring a knife, we bring a gun. They're not kidding. And Donald Trump shows how to get the base enthusiastic, how to get people excited about being involved in politics again. And listen, I didn't like it very much at first as well, but when I see the power of what's brought to bear against this man from the day he came down the escalator, and especially since the election, 19 hours in, and the first impeachment article was in the Washington Post, it seems to me, and we'll see if our next guest agrees, that it is time for Republicans to fight. It doesn't mean you have to change your personality, not be yourself. But the idea of thinking it's important to get along or be liked by the media, I think that's old news as we head into the roaring 20s. What say you, Patrick Neville?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And just makes me think back a little over or almost 4 years ago, you and I, in our righteous indignation, aren't you glad that we were so wrong?
Yes. Yeah, I know. I mean, we were, you know, I was a delegate for Ted Cruz, and I was so terrified of Donald Trump, the New York liberal, former, you know, pro-choice, all over the place, don't know what you get out of this guy. And I was elected as a Cruz delegate, so I went to fight against Donald Trump. And once he dominated the convention, became the nominee, it took a while to turn my attention away from that irritation to how important it was to stop Hillary Clinton. And I've said this 15 times or more on the radio here. I have never been happier to have, more happy to have been more wrong.
Right, you and I both.
Yeah.
I think, quite frankly, I think Donald Trump's doing a better job than Ted Cruz would have ever done. I mean, he's got a spine of steel, and he's been, you know, dishing it out to the media and fighting for people, and his performance is unbelievable. I mean, the things he's done, I think he's the most conservative president in my lifetime.
Yeah, and he did the one thing that I don't think Ted Cruz would have, and that was get elected.
Get elected and then actually stand up and do some of the major things and stand up to people on his own party and stand up to all the swamp creatures and the deep state. And, I mean, you look at what they've thrown at him. It's just unbelievable that he's actually still getting anything done, but he is. It's with that. It's just that different attitude, that fighting style attitude, like you said earlier, that Republicans need to adopt, and that's the new day, and that's the new party. Thank goodness for it.
Without a doubt. We're talking with House Minority Leader Patrick Neville. Peter Boyles always talks about the good guys, very critical of the Republican Party on his show, and I agree a lot of that criticism is appropriate, especially based on years past. I see the Republican Party leadership that we have now is different and better and focused in the right direction. But how does that message that you just gave, Patrick, tie together with the Cory Gardner campaign? You know Cory. I know Cory. We've all spoken to him. He's almost always the nicest guy in the room, the nicest guy on stage. How's that going to work in 2020 when the Democrats already have hundreds of thousands of dollars of trash Cory ads all over the TV and radio?
Yeah, you know, I think it's really got to be adopted within his consultant corps and within his, you know, his political campaign. Cory is always going to be the nicest guy. That's just his, he doesn't have that Trump personality, but I think his campaign can learn a thing or two from how Trump won in 2016. And start adopting that, you know, basically punch back, you know, hit back and counterpunch, and that's what they have to do. And I think, you know, Cory, at least he's smart enough to realize what happened with, you know, Mike Kaufman and a few others. Mike Kaufman here in Colorado trying to run ads against Donald Trump, at the end saying paid for by the Colorado Republican Party. And all that really did was make sure that a bunch of Trump voters didn't turn out in the election. I think statewide, we've identified over 300,000 people who were Trump voters in 2016 who just didn't turn out in 2018. And I think a lot of that's because you had Mike Kaufman on the major TV market in the state running ads saying, I will fight against Donald Trump. And those people said, well, okay, I'm going to just stay home and not vote for you, Mike, and probably didn't vote for any Republican as well down ticket. So I think Cory's realized that happened. He can't run against the president. He's going to run with the president. And quite frankly, he's you know, he hasn't been fighting the president in his major policies. You know, I look at some of the Republicans who've been really damaging to the party. I think John, you know, basically making sure that we didn't repeal Obamacare also really, really hurt us in 2018. Cory wasn't a vote like that. Cory didn't make those kind of statements or push against those type of policies. So overall, you know, I think he's going to be going with the president more than against him. I just hope his campaign really starts coming out and doing some major counterpunching.
Your phone dropped when you said John. Were you referring to John McCain?
Correct.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, John McCain. And I think that was such a pivotal moment in the Republican Party, you know, when he made that vote against repealing Obamacare.
It's incredible.
That was one of the promises that we made. It was one of the promises that President Trump made. And people saw through that and they said, well, Republicans own the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and they couldn't get it done. And it's but for John McCain. He was the one vote that really turned the tide on that, the deciding vote to make sure we didn't repeal Obamacare. And that made a lot of voters angry and disenfranchised from the Republican Party. And I don't blame them.
No, I don't either. And John McCain knew exactly what he was doing. He waited. He made sure he was the last vote. 2 o'clock in the morning, he walked down, you know, very dramatically, and then gave his thumbs down with kind of a flick of the head, knowing that he was and not. He had campaigned on repealing Obamacare. He had been reelected time after time on repealing Obamacare. This was a stick it in your eye, President Trump, and therefore a stick it in your eye on all Republicans who supported him then, and especially the record number of Republicans, 95%, that support him now.
That's right. It's unfortunate. I mean, when you let personalities get in the way, that's where you get you craft and develop really bad policy or really bad votes, and that's exactly what happened.
You know, I'll be...
and it's like you were referring to earlier on in the show, too. It's because he wanted to be liked by the media. Then he becomes the maverick, this guy that will... Oh, he'll go against his own party, and he's such a renegade. And, oh, good for John McCain. He wanted to get that reputation back where he lost it when he ran for president. Because as we all saw, he had that great reputation with the media until he ran for president himself. And then what did the media do? They trashed him as well.
Of course. It's for Republicans to play that game with the mainstream media at this point is absolutely ridiculous because they're only being utilized to advance the leftist agenda that fuels most of the media activity that we see out there now. And but before we move on from Cory Gardner, I don't know if you saw the editorial I wrote for the Colorado Sun. It ran a week ago last Sunday, where I predicted that Cory will do the right things, acquit President Trump in the impeachment hoax, and win in 2020. And one of the things I pointed to, and you know, I get a lot of flack from my Tea Party and conservative friends but they don't realize that for years and years, we've always been critical of votes, whether it's Cory Gardner or any other Republican that moves away from the conservative agenda or breaks their campaign promises or whatever. But with this particular election, I don't know if you heard Trevor Loudon, a life-altering, future-altering election for the United States of America, it can't even be a question when you have 90% of incumbents winning re-election. Cory Gardner, whether you like his voting in all cases or not, an excellent campaigner, a person that voters who aren't dialed into this stuff every minute of every day like you and I are tend to like. And also a guy who votes with Trump over 90% of the time, supported all of his constitutionally conservative federal judges except one, is the point man for Trump's Asia policy. They talk on a weekly, if not more often, basis. And so for this particular election, as much as I believe in primaries, as much as I believe in holding Republicans accountable, I am keeping my powder dry when it comes to Cory Gardner to support the president of the United States.
That's right, you and I both. You know, the other thing, too, that we got to look at is we have Gorsuch and Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court. We might have one or two if President Trump wins and we maintain the Senate. So that is incredibly important, and Cory Gardner is one of the keys to make sure we maintain the Senate. He's not been one of those guys pushing back and not voting for the Supreme Court justices or all the different justices that have been appointed, you know, even below the Supreme Court. That has been huge. We're at a point where we've flipped the Ninth Circuit to more conservative justice. This is that will stay with us for years and decades to come.
When I wrote my editorial for the Colorado Sun, I wrote two Supreme Court justices and approximately 185 others, including 11 on the day the House voted to impeach the president. Turns out I was wrong. They did 13 judges on the day the House voted to impeach the president. That legacy will last for decades beyond however long this presidency lasts for Donald Trump.
That's right, yeah. What a contrast. Here the House was wasting time impeaching the president, and then not even sending it over to the Senate. I still don't think they have. And then here the Senate is actually confirming conservative justice, actually getting it done, you know, doing what they said they were going to do and performing. That's wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely is. Well, we're going to talk Colorado legislative session 2019, your reflections as we get ready for all the new laws to take effect. I've gone through a list of some of them with listeners earlier in the show. And then we'll look ahead to 2020 and how to get people ready for what's coming, how to maybe step up and push back against it. Last thing, though, on Cory Gardner, on the national election, I get these kinds of messages, texts to studio, Facebook messages, texts to my phone, Great conversation with you and Trevor. Don't forget, Corey is also a Democrat. And then later, sorry, but Republicans have no cojones unless they are attacking each other. And I share the anger and the frustration, but it seems to me, man, for the next 11 months, there should be one agenda, and it should be focused on the President of the United States, and that includes dragging and kicking and screaming to the polls for Republicans, whether you like them or not, including Cory Gardner.
Yeah, I agree. Everyone's got to turn out. They've got to support the president. They need to support Cory Gardner as well. Like, you're going to have your primaries and some of your local elections, and those are going to be fought out. And I share the same frustration, it seems like, especially from the establishment crowd. They definitely are willing to attack like crazy other Republicans, and then they lose all their, basically all their gusto in the actual general election. So I share that same frustration. But when it comes to Cory Gardner, like, he's never attacked me. He's never attacked any other conservatives, as far as I know, throughout the state, or been part of these primaries against other conservative candidates. He's always worked well with me. And, anytime I shoot him a text or give him a call, he's responding back within a day or so. Corey, I don't think he's part of that crowd. So we can't blame him for the sins of others, especially those others that are actually playing more in the primaries for the establishment crowd. I think that's more of a consultant problem than any sort of politician problem.
And even if we could blame him or did blame him for those things, for election time 2020, it just simply does not matter.
That's right. Yep, we got to get him in. We got to get him so he can vote for hopefully one or two more Supreme Court justices President Trump's going to pick. And as we've seen, he's picking some good ones.
All right, let's bring it home. Want to open up phone lines, too. We're going to have State Representative Patrick Neville. He's the minority leader. The session starts here very, very soon. So we're going to talk about what's coming. We're going to look back at what's been. And anybody who'd like to weigh in with Pat, congratulate him, criticize him, ask questions, 303-696-1971. Phone lines are wide open. Looking back, Pat, obviously Red Flag has gotten a ton of mileage and time here on 710 KNUS, especially here on Peter Boyle's show. Stefan has done a show with, I think it was Steve Reams versus the Douglas County Sheriff. Douglas County Sheriff was a promoter of Red Flag, probably the instigator, really. Steve Reams, obviously the leader of the Sanctuary County movement. So we've covered that a great deal. I'm out giving town halls and presentations to groups about it. Let's set that one aside. What do you think was the single most significant action of the Democrat-controlled legislature signed into law by the governor that people should be aware of that takes effect here in about 15 hours and 42 minutes?
Well, I think the single biggest thing they did last year as a whole, it's already been in effect, but it's been Senate Bill 181. And that's all the different restrictions they put on the oil and gas production in the state. What we've seen is permits drop by, it's not even like close. I think it's somewhere like 90%. We're only seeing 10% of the permits being approved that used to be approved. That industry within the state is being devastated. It's probably the reason why we've moved from, I think, the number one strongest economy in the in the states to, I think we're down to the ninth already. So it's causing us to be losing a lot of different jobs throughout the state and hurting our economy in a big way. And what's significant to me about that is the voters rejected a similar concept in the previous election cycle. So the voters said no to the setbacks that were on the ballot the previous election cycle. And the Democrats basically ignored the will of the voters and pushed it through statutorily anyhow, just in a different way. It wasn't a setback, but it had the same effect that initiative would have had. Even though that initiative failed by over 10 points, the Democrats still did it. And that's what we're seeing a pattern of. They've done the same thing with the national popular vote. They basically ignored what the voters were saying and ran that through anyway. Luckily, we were able to petition that and gather enough petitions so that you'll actually be able to vote on that in 2020. But now we're seeing it with different things like the state option. Or we saw it with, referendum CC went down in flames. Completely down in flames, and here they are. They're looking forward to trying to find new ways to put new taxes and fees on you. They're not getting it. They still continue to ignore the will of the people.
And by the way, whenever you hear the word fee come out of a Democrat's mouth, think tax, because they use the language to get around Tabor, the taxpayer's Bill of Rights. But that's exactly what they're doing. I just re-registered my SUV a couple of weeks ago. Did it online. And, you know, it's a nice, simple process. But then I looked at the receipt for that thing, and there were 11 or 12 or 13 different fees. 50 cents here, $1.21 there, $12.18 over there. Not just the sales tax, not just the things that you'd expect to pay on a new purchase or a renewal or whatever, but they have padded in so much money that they grab in tiny little increments that adds up to a major cash grab from Colorado citizens as a result of the Democrat, whenever the Democrats are in control of the legislature.
That's right. And that's just one example. I mean, I remember when I was 16, you know, I'm 36, so that was 16 years ago. I think I paid $30 to register my first car. And now I look at it, I don't even know how a 16-year-old could afford to drive a car these days.
A
minimum, you're looking at a couple hundred bucks just to register. Your insurance prices are higher. Your insurance prices are higher because of Democrat policies that have empowered the trial lawyers, which are making all your property and casualty insurance rates balloon. You look at other different policies that they put in place, too, that have basically eliminated the market for condos because there's no condos being built. So they did that back in 2008. So it's just getting really, really expensive to live here in Colorado, and it's because of Democrat policies. You can draw a direct line to Democrat policies and the cost of living increase.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it seems like the Democrats just don't care what the majority of Colorado citizens have to say. How you could ignore the resounding defeat of CC and then be talking about the different ways we're going to generate more revenue through the legislature, or how they can ignore the resounding defeat of setbacks for fracking and local control over oil production and all that sort of thing, and then legislate entirely contrary to what the voters had to say. Is it hubris, arrogance? Is it desperation? We've got to get these passed while we can because we know that the Republicans may take back one lever of government, and that will mean they can stop us from doing future damage. But anything we can accomplish right now with only one branch of the state house, they can't overturn it.
You know, I think that's a big reason why that second reason that they're worried the Republicans might take control in the future is a reason why that I'm so concerned about this next session, because I do see that desperation. I do think they're going to go after a lot of very extreme policies next session. And it's just what amazes me, though, is even it's not just the worry that they have, but it's almost the bitterness they have towards the voters. I mean, immediately after CC getting, just totally destroyed in the ballot, they were angry about it in committee meetings. Like, well, the voters didn't vote us to give us more money, so they're not going to get this. Just the bitterness of it. It's just,
they're
going to
punish.
They want more of their own money.
Yeah. And they're going to punish people.
Yeah, exactly. They wanted to punish.
Yeah. They're not there to represent. They're there to dictate and control, no doubt about it. Hey, Patrick, we need to take a break. We've got callers on the line for State Representative Patrick Neville. He's the Republican Minority Leader. Have a line open as well at 303-696-1971. Pat is here as long as we want him, so we will continue on the other side. Peter Boyle Show, New Year's Eve edition on 710K in U.S.
We now return to the Peter Boyle Show.
At 8:21 on a sunny Tuesday morning. Still cold out there. We have not broken 20 degrees. 43 for the high today. 50 as we kick off the amazing rambling rocking 20s. Going to be amazing to see what happens as we roll into the new year here in the state of Colorado, all around the country. Before we get back to Patrick Neville, several messages coming in on Facebook. This one from Susie: as the year comes to an end, I urge you to take care of yourself and avoid accidents, because spare parts for old models like you and I are no longer in stock. Forward to other old models you care about. Boy, amen. Age and rank has its privileges, and it also has its less than benefits, I guess. Betty, great show. Thank you so much. Art wrote in. We were talking motorcycle stories earlier. Art wrote in on Facebook. Randy, don't forget Evel Knievel's not-so-famous brother, Awful Knoffel. That's a pretty good one, Art. Great to hear you filling in for Boyles. Thank you, Art. Happy New Year to you and for everybody on the text-to-studio line with the Happy New Year messages. I don't have time to name you all, but really, really do appreciate it. It's always great to be with you here on 710 KNUS. Let's get Patrick Neville back on. We'll bring in some calls. Have an open line at 303-696-1971. Before we get to Lady Joe from Littleton, Pat, this is a very common, and I'm sure you hear it all the time. You're out there meeting with voters and people probably far more than I am. But this one says, I'll vote Gardner and throw up afterwards, and the first chance I get to vote against him, I will. Listen, if that's the perspective, that's okay with me. We're talking about 2020, and as long as they'll vote and maybe drag, you know, 5 or 10 other people to the polls with them, that's what it takes. You said at the beginning of this interview that you guys, the Republican Party, the, as some people around here say, the do-nothing Republican Party, I disagree with that, have identified 300,000 voters who voted for Trump and did not turn out in the 2018 midterms. Those people need to be energized, and that's part of what the local Colorado State Republicans are going to do this year.
That's right. That's really our challenge, and make sure that we get out the message, too, because I think we were hurt down ballot throughout that, too, because those same folks that were angry at Kaufman for not supporting the president and some others, they just didn't turn out at all. So that means that we had state Senate, state House candidates, other candidates, you know, down ballot that just didn't get the same support that they should have gotten like they had received in 2016. So we got to make sure that those folks turn out for us in 2020.
And we did not have an inspiring leader at the top of the ticket running for governor either. Walker's a smart guy, good guy, was an excellent state treasurer, but he was not an inspirational leader to lead a pushback movement in an off-year election. He did not bring the fight to his opponents, as we've seen is required now if you're going to win in modern-day politics, period. Before we get to this first call, just one more text I'd like to get your response to. This is typical as well. Where's the fight back from Colorado Republicans? Nowhere. Silence. They, always the, you know, kind of air quotes, they had a chance to frame the entire election with the first ridiculous Democrat vote, but they sit there. I'm sick of their incompetence. Now, I know you're not sitting there. I know you're pushing back, using social media, speaking to as many people as you can all the time. But what's your response to that frustrated texter?
Well, I think they've got to actually pay attention to what we were doing. In the legislative session, we were out there fighting continuously. I mean, it was one of the most brutal sessions. You ask anyone who's been around for a long time, you know, I've talked to lobbyists who've been down there over 30 years, and they were saying that was the most brutal session. Last session, because we were fighting back. We were doing filibusters, doing all sorts of different procedural moves to fight back. And not only that, we also took it out to the public, too. So I spent just about as much of my time outside the Capitol trying to get people aware of what was going on as I did inside of the Capitol, whether it was being on this station. And it seemed like I was on the station 2 or 3 times a week during the session last year. And, you know, we also started up a different organization. We have Take Back Colorado, which started out as Recall Colorado, but Take Back Colorado is a different way that we are getting the message out to people. It's basically getting the small people involved, the people who are willing to donate $25, $50 to Take Back Colorado, and we're getting involved there. We're sending out emails, constant updates. So if you are not aware, please go to takebackcolorado.com, sign up. We will tell you what's going on. We will get you involved. We will tell you when those bills are coming up that you can come down and testify. And we put a big focus on that and reinvested a lot of not only dollars but just time and effort into that branch so that we're not just relying on the typical 527 operation where we're hoping that a corporation writes us a big check. We are getting everyone in the state involved. I think we have an email list over there. It's over 100,000 people in our email list there. We're getting people involved every day. So we've fought back hard, but we're also changing the way that we do our tactics to make sure that we get more people involved.
Yeah, and my response to texters like this, without criticism, man, nobody understands the anger, frustration better than I, especially from years past. But my other response is, what are you doing? You know, are you volunteering to be a district captain or a precinct leader or to knock on doors or to get involved with a campaign? And if you're physically or time-wise unable to activate yourself, are you at least writing checks? And if your money's limited, are they small checks but regular checks? I mean, everybody who's questioning what other people are doing needs to be also taking a quick look in the mirror to see what they're doing. And that's absolutely impossible to get away from the fact that everybody's got to step up and do something.
That's right. Yeah, we need everyone's help. It's got to be all hands on deck. You know, I get the frustration, too. I think I see some of the same frustration with, you know, I look at the federal level of Congress, and I get a lot of frustration with the general leadership in Congress. But then you got to take a look at some of the bright spots. Look at what the Freedom Caucus is doing. They're doing some great work. And, you know, Ken Buck's a part of the Freedom Caucus, and they're doing wonderful work getting the message out. You look at guys like Jim Jordan and all they've done to fight back on impeachment. It's been wonderful. So there are some bright spots throughout. Of course, there's always going to be politicians that we're frustrated with. But I think overall, there's a lot of Republicans stepping up to the plate and really fighting back.
I really, really caught this particular texter's attention because, you know, the response, yeah, it's my fault. When Arvada schools were suffering through a heat wave, Republicans should have been at every school talking about school choice. Well, I assume this person is a Republican or was a Republican. The Republican Party, the Republican Party leaders or officers can't be everywhere doing everything. Conservatives and Republicans are usually the ones who say, you know, leave me alone. I will take care of it. I will do it. So, again, you know, look in the mirror, friend, and see what you were doing. Why weren't you part of a, you know, running for a school board or standing out, getting your neighbors together to go talk at a school or whatever? This is not a criticism. This is just awareness that people need to have that we can't just point fingers at a party structure or party leaders. The caller that's been so patiently waiting, Joe from Littleton, a very important question because redistricting is coming up. Let's finally bring in her in. And Joe, sorry to keep you waiting so long, but welcome to the show.
No, that's fine. Happy New Year.
Yes.
But I have, first of all, a comment that you guys were talking about Trump at the beginning of the show and that your little dialogue on him. And, you know, I remember his daughter, Ivanka, saying, if you elect my dad, you won't be sorry and you'll see his accomplishments. And Trump really reminds me of a master teacher where he has a plan, he does it, and you see the accomplishments. I just think he's been a great president. But I've been really concerned about this redistricting that they're going to do, I think, across the nation. And I want to know, is Colorado going to be affected by that? So I'll let you go and you can chat about that and I'll listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Uh-huh.
Redistricting.
Yeah, so that is actually a wonderful question. So it's a very it's a big deal. In Colorado, if you take a look at the state house specifically, the state house is the most gerrymandered chamber in the nation. And when I say gerrymandered, that means that almost every election cycle except for 2018, if you look at the statewide votes, Republicans win statewide in the state house. Yet we've only controlled it for 2 years out of the last decade. So it's very rare that we get it. I mean, there's districts that they're just all carved out to really benefit Democrats. So in 2022 is when the redistricting is going to happen. So it's not this cycle, it'll be the next cycle. And actually, luckily for us, we passed Y and Z. And I say luckily because it's not a perfect system, but had we not, the way it works right now is the Democrats would control everything. They've got Jared Polis, they've got both chambers of the House and the Senate, and they've got the Supreme Court. And in the past years, what really happened was the Supreme Court held all the cards. At the end of the day, the Supreme Court, the Colorado Supreme Court, basically drew the maps. And what we have in Colorado right now is we have one Republican appointee on the Supreme Court. That's it. He's not even a Republican like Randy or I, not nearly as conservative. That's Justice Coates. And even his mandatory retirement date, I think, is like 2 weeks after the deadline to do maps. So who knows if he'll even stick around. And if he doesn't, then we have another Jared Polis appointee that would be put in there, and they would be drawing all those maps. But we passed Y and Z, which changed the way that we do redistricting. And I think the biggest change in that, so it basically goes to a commission where you're going to have an equal number of Republicans, unaffiliates, and Democrats voting for it. There are ways to game the commission. That's concerning. So again, I say it's not a perfect solution, but it's better than the alternative. But the biggest thing for me is that all the maps have to originate from Ledge Council, the nonpartisan staff in the Capitol. So there's no way the Supreme Court can just say, oh, we're going to draw our own map at the end of the day. They have to choose a map that originated from Legislative Council. And historically, the maps that have been drawn from Legislative Council have been pretty fair. So this gives us an actual fighting chance. I know there's, I talked to friends in red states where they're proposing the same sort of system in different red states, and I tell them, no, don't do it there. It's not for you. But for us, this actually might be the one saving grace that we have for our state, because if we didn't have this, Polis and the Democrats and the extreme liberals, they would be able to draw the maps however they want, and there'd be no way to stop them. So this is the only thing that actually might be able to get us to stop them. And if you're an unaffiliate out there listening to this, get involved, because we need unaffiliates to pack that pool, because there's a pool of about 300 people that eventually you'll have the most recently retired Supreme Court justices will pick those pools of unaffiliates who sit on that commission. So we definitely need to pack it with like-minded unaffiliates out there. And there's a lot of unaffiliated voters that are like-minded with us.
Yeah, like the texter.
And so that's the challenge.
Like the texter who's so frustrated with the Republican Party, still could make a real difference on such a critical issue. Now, when will these redistricting, when we need to take a break, so keep the answer very short. When will the redistricting commission and issues be coming up? Will that be during this next year or after the 2020 elections?
After the 2020 elections, after the census.
Okay, very good. All right, so when we come back, there is a rally scheduled for the first day of the legislative session on the west steps of the Capitol. I want to make sure everybody's aware about that. We'll talk more about it on Saturday when I do my regular show. We've got callers on the line that want to talk to State House Representative and Minority Leader for the Republican Party, Patrick Neville. We'll continue with all of that in the final segment of the final Peter Boyle Show of 2019. Randy Corcoran here, 710 KNUS.
Download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone, or hear us at home or at work on your Alexa device. Details at 710KNUS.com. Message and data rates apply.
Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
As we wrap up 2019 on the Peter Boyle Show, Peter will be back on Thursday. I'm Randy Corcoran. I will be here on Saturday, 9 to noon this particular Saturday. And I do not think Matt Dunn is in today for Stephen Tubbs. I think we'll be having holiday programming. I heard Matt say he was not in tonight. So if you're needing a Matt Dunn fix, you'll have to wait until Sunday for Backbone Radio. And with full lines, apologies to the callers, such short time left with Patrick Neville. We saw, Patrick, what happened in 2019. You talked about the oil and gas bill. We know about sex ed for kindergartners, red flag, we've talked about that forever. Forced vaccinations, I mean, the list goes on and on, national popular vote issues, etc. And in response to that, there will be a Stand for Colorado event January 8th. That's a week from tomorrow, 11 a.m. on the west steps of the Capitol, to step out and show support for our Republicans in the legislature and remind the activists in control right now that we are there. We'll talk more about that on Saturday. In the couple, 2 or 3 minutes we have left, Patrick, what should people be most concerned about heading into the 2020 legislative session?
You're going to see a slew of different, or there's a lot of stuff. You're going to see a slew of different gun control bills. But I think the biggest thing that concerns me is the state option, which is going to be basically a government-run insurance program that's going to be offered through the state exchange. But what they can do that other private insurance programs can't do is they can price fix and force the hospitals to take their insurance. So that's what they're going to do. And what this is going to do, just make it short, I could go into more detail, but the end result of this is, give it a year or two, we're going to be down to single payer in Colorado. And that's their plan with this.
Yeah, it is terrifying because they're always playing the long game. They dip their toe in the water. They have temporary majorities so they can pass certain things, but it's never the end game. It's the beginning of the end game. And that's why we have to fight on every front, fight on every battle, just like you guys did in 2019, forcing them to read bills. We still have a constitutional challenge going on against the red flag law, one that really seems like it's cut and dried, although you never know with a Democrat-controlled Supreme Court. But does it mean something to you guys when people show up on the west steps of the Capitol, for instance, a week from tomorrow at 11 a.m. to remind everybody that we are out here and we're watching?
Oh, absolutely. And it's really, really helps me out to make sure that we all stick together as a team. Because what the Democrats really like to do is they like to peel off one or two Republicans to vote for their really bad bills. And then they can go out there and say, no, this is bipartisan, when it really shouldn't be. So when you guys show up and you at least help us hold Republicans accountable, it gives us the ability to really fight back and control the narrative from the very get-go. And not to mention just, you know, personally it does. I look back and, you know, we had some big rallies out there. You know, when people show up, I always remind other legislators, look at these people out here. Forget what's going on in there. Look at these people out here. This is who we represent. This is who's fighting for us, and this is who we're fighting for as well.
Yeah, the Democrats are not interested in representing the will of the people, as evidenced by the vote for setbacks and fracking and the national popular vote, et cetera. They ignore the will of the people.
And the state option, too. That's why I bring this up. The state option, you know, we defeated that overwhelmingly, I think by like 70% with Amendment 69 not too long ago. And here they're coming in doing it a different way that's going to have the same end result.
30 seconds. Are you optimistic for the 2020 elections on a statewide level? Do you feel like the overreach from the Democrats is going to allow you to go get those 300,000 Republicans who voted in 2016 but didn't turn out in 2018?
I am optimistic. I think we're going to be able to add seats in the House. It's going to be really tough for us to get to a majority just the way we're gerrymandered, but if we can close the gap, that helps tremendously throughout the legislative process, because the committees can't be overwhelmingly Democrat. They've got to be, you know, only by like one vote. So I'm very optimistic. We have also the infrastructure that Gardner and the Trump team is bringing in, which we didn't have last cycle, is going to be here, which is going to compete with the Democrats' infrastructure, which is going to be definitely very helpful, and it's going to be a different election cycle than 2018. And quite frankly, we learned a lot of lessons in 2018, too. We didn't do everything right in 2018, and we have acknowledged that, and we're changing the way we're doing things. So I'm very much more optimistic about 2020 than I was 2018.
How many seats do we need to flip the Colorado State Senate?
Colorado State Senate, you need two. It's really tough in the Senate just because their map this year isn't as good as it was last year, so they've got to defend a lot more seats.
Patrick,
than they did last year.
I've got the music, my brother. An hour goes way too fast.
I hear it.
Happy New Year to you. Be safe. I look forward to seeing you in the new year a lot. And encourage everybody to show up January 8th, 11 a.m., west steps of the Capitol, to show our support for the good Republicans who are keeping up the fight down there. God bless you, sir. Love to your family.
All right. Thanks, Randy.
Better believe it. All right. I'm so sorry to the callers. Really wanted to hear from Patrick. And I will be back Saturday from 9 to noon. So if you didn't get on the air, want to talk to me in particular, hope you'll join me then. Peter Boyles will be right back here on Thursday if he doesn't freeze his vocal cords up there in the 20 below degree weather. I'm Randy Corcoran. Always remember, never forget, God loves you, so do I. Happy New Year, everybody.